It's the Cricket Shed. Hello, boys and girls. It is the Cricket Shed. My name is Larry Quiriray. Another edition is the words of Dear Khaled. Another one. So, yeah, what we're going to talk about today. We're going to have a chat with Stuart Matsikinyeri, who is currently the Zimbabwe national team fielding coach. He played under 19 cricket, so just, you know, swinging back to guys who got experience in this particular tournament. And it's a wonderful chat that I had with him on this edition of the Cricket Shed.
It's the Cricket Shed.
I'm here with Stuart Matsikinyeri. 2002, that famous side did very well, and I was captained by one Tatenda Taibo. Now, let's talk about that World Cup. How did you guys prepare for it? It was the third World Cup, and not many had happened before, so you're essentially the early pioneers of the tournament.
It's a long time ago, but in terms of preparation, obviously back in the day we used to have trials that started with the school's festival, and streaming down happened from that space. And then eventually when the team was picked, and you will appreciate that my information is a bit sketchy because I wasn't in the country at that time. I had personally gone over to Australia. I was playing cricket in Australia. So the guys would have been picked from the festival, from provincial staff. And then once we got together as a team, it was a few practices, and then we went down to South Africa. We played against some provincial teams there at the High Performance in Pretoria, a couple of internationals, and then off we went to Australia. So I joined the team from, came back from Adelaide, joined the team, and then joined them in South Africa, and then over to New Zealand.
So now, a lot of people will know you for being a batter and so forth, but you took 3 for 33 in one of the matches. Was it for the just a one-off, or was this not interested in bowling later on?
No, it certainly wasn't one-off. I always fancied myself as an all-rounder. Larry, thanks for remembering that. I played a big part there with the ball, actually. I went on to take a few test wickets. Not many, but very significant ones. So, no, it's not something that was just a part-time thing for me. The reality is, as I grew in the game, just the batting took over more than the bowling did. And you remember that when the time that I played, was blessed to play with some world-class spinners, you know, Crossbow, say Raymond Price, so I wouldn't have bowled much in that sort of space.
And around that time, Tatenda Taibo becomes the only ever Zimbabwean to become, you know, player of the tournament. And then Washington Mwayenga gets the most wickets, joint most wickets in the tournament. That must have been the kind of performances that must have really excited the group.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant for us. You know, you said earlier that I wouldn't call us a great side, but we're a good side. And it was something that we were proud of to come back from the World Cup in New Zealand with the player of the tournament, and Waddington having taken as many wickets as he did. You know, those guys really put their hands up, but then it took a team effort, because we really rallied behind each other. We were well led by Steve Rhodes and Steve Mangongo that took that particular World Cup. They got us firing together as a team, and it was good. So, those results for us as a team were something that we were proud of, and we will still be proud of going forward.
You had players, Amuntu Masagaza, just come from Guinea Century and debut. Tatenda Taibo had played quite a bit for internationals. What did they bring into the dressing room for you guys?
Yeah, you forget Sean Evan as well.
Yeah.
We had three internationals that had played. It gave us a lot of confidence. It's almost like you're going in with three big brothers that have been, all three of them had been at that stage and also had been exposed at a higher level. So you know, there were guys that we knew we could bounce ideas off, we could lean on when we needed to. And you know, all of them did well together with the rest of the squad. You know, we had everything in that squad. We also had real youngsters, very bright youngsters that were coming up here. In Brendan Taylor and Elton Chigumbura, I think they were 15 at that stage. You know, really quality cricketers as well. So we had everything. We had a good mix of everything in that side, and it was, you know, made it all the more special for us.
What do you think that performance with the likes of Elton Chigumbura and so forth did for the team that then played in 2004? And did very well.
Yeah, I think it would have gone a real long way in as far as experience is concerned. Because you did mention earlier, it was only the second edition of the Under-19 World Cup.
There was one in 1988. But it was like almost felt like it was a one-off invitational tournament.
Yeah.
But then there was 98, 2000, and then you guys were 2002.
Yes. So you know, you'd appreciate that we are growing at that stage in the space of world competition as Zimbabwe cricket as well. So bringing Brendan Taylor and Elton Chigumbura, that tournament would have played a massive part in their development and experience going into the next World Cup.
Yeah. What does Under-19 do as a pathway for the growth of a player?
It's massive. I think it sells the game. You know, to the players themselves, you know, the players that are lucky enough, privileged enough to represent their nations, this is the stage where most guys really grab onto the game, fall in love with the game, and you know, really want motivated to go that step further in representing their countries. I think it's amazing, and you know, coming out here today to watch the game is, you know, just supporting the boys, you know, and the game of cricket as a whole, because it's an amazing tournament, and it does a lot for the game of cricket as a whole, not just for Zimbabwe cricket, but for the world game. Stars are born in this competition, as we've learned over the years. So it's interesting to see as this competition progresses. I know, you know, in a few years we'll be watching some of these boys do wonders for their different nations, and hopefully a few of them from Zimbabwe.
Finally, what do you think is going through the minds of the players? I know we've just gone through the first day, but what's going through, what's the emotions, and how would they be preparing themselves?
I think they're excited. They've all gone through probably an extensive period of preparation. So preparation is done, and now is competition. I think they're excited to get out there. Obviously, there will be nerves. There will be a lot of nervous boys out there, simply because they care. They want to go out and do well for their countries. I think mainly excitement, and just, you know, they can't wait to go out there and perform for their countries. But I hope that most of all they enjoy it, and they find a new love of the game, as it were, because of what the stage brings.
Okay, all the best.
Thank you, Larry.
Cheers.
Game on, Zimbabwe. The ICC Under-19 Men's Cricket World Cup 2026 is here. 15 January to 6 February, and the stadiums are calling your name. Watch our boys in Group C take on Scotland, England and Pakistan at Takashinga Cricket Club in Highfield, fighting for the Super Six, semis and the grand finale at Harare Sports Club. Meanwhile, Queen Sports Club in Bulawayo will also be on fire as India, Bangladesh, New Zealand and the USA battle it out in the group stage. All matches start 9:30 a.m. Entry is free. Excitement? Off the charts. Bring your squad, paint the stands and witness the future stars of cricket live. ICC Under-19 Men's Cricket World Cup 2026. Don't just watch it, live it.
So just going back to what's happened on the pitch, of course, Zimbabwe, the first match was rained off, unfortunately. Then the second match, they were tonked by England, as expected. England looking really strong. Zimbabwe probably disappointed themselves with the department that they've been the most effective at, that is the bowling. The batting was a good fight from the captain, Simbarashem Zingerere, although you think because they lost the toss, the outfield in the morning wasn't that great. So a couple of shots that could have made it to the boundary did not. And in the afternoon, the English were just much better, probably also got better bats and so forth. Because whenever you get a bit of a touch on the board, it goes away to the boundary. Shout out to Thomas Roo, gave us a good account of himself. But that puts Zimbabwe's net run rate to -3.3. And with Scotland losing to Pakistan within 44 overs, I think it was, their net run rate is -0.6. So if both matches are rained off, they got Zimbabwe and Scotland will be both on 2 points. But Scotland have a much better net run rate. For Zimbabwe, their, you know, fortunes will depend on how the matches end. That is, if they win, yes, if they win against Pakistan and Scotland lose, then they go through. That's very simple. But at the same time, there is the minor matter of if the England against Scotland match, and some people say, oh, you know, England will do Scotland a bit of a favor. If both teams go through and Scotland have beaten England, then England will go through, only carry the points through to the next round of the teams that they've beaten or collected points from. So they'll only be able to carry 2 points because Zimbabwe will not have qualified and neither will have Pakistan. But if they then beat Scotland, or rather, but Pakistan was the only one that have qualified, so they can carry the 2 points from that. He's getting muddled a bit there, but I hope you understand. So you only carry through to the Super Six the points of the teams from your group that you actually beat. So they will need to beat Scotland so that they can carry their points over, maybe 4 points, and hope that Pakistan then beat Zimbabwe and then they can carry over the points. But if, say, for example, they get tonked, that is Scotland on Wednesday. And by the way, I'm talking this way about the Scottish parents. All the boys from the Scottish teams had their parents come through to the World Cup. That's pretty impressive. Like all 15 boys have got their parents on this World Cup, some with their brothers and sisters. If you go to our YouTube channel, 3mob.com, a couple of interviews, some of the parents that I had, we're uploading on Tuesday. So getting back to the matter at hand, in the words of Snoop Dogg, so if Zimbabwe's game is not played because of rain, because expected rain throughout the week because of that field, that thing that's coming from Mozambique, I think. It's from Mozambique, yeah. Then, if Zimbabwe's game doesn't get paid, they go on to 2 points. And Scotland, if they get tonked, they got only 1 point. But if Zimbabwe then play and they win their match, they go to 3 points. It's all getting muddled. What is known for sure is England and Pakistan have gone through. I think it'd be, say, a fair bet. I mean, look, if England, it gets interesting. If England lose to Scotland and Pakistan lose to Zimbabwe, then Pakistan are out. So lots of things. I think the only team that's guaranteed going through at the moment is, well, England. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so this is the Cricket Chair Podcast. See you, Takashinga. All the matches, they move over to Harare Sports Club and Queen's Sports Club. The main part of the matches from the 26th of January. It's going to be sad to leave Takashinga. It's such a lovely ground. And, you know, all the way out there in Highfield, it's just a nice community ground. But, you know, it's also very good to get, great to have these kind of facilities that we get at Harare Sports Club. So, yeah. You can't have your cake and eat it, can you? Yeah. It is the Cricket Chair Podcast. If you want to make sure you don't miss an episode, subscribe on wherever you get your podcast, except on YouTube. But subscribe everywhere you get your podcast. And also just go and follow us on Twitter at Quirirai. Our Facebook is currently down. We got hacked, but got somebody working on that. So I hope that's going to work up on Facebook. Not Facebook. What's the other platform? On Twitter, our Three Men on a Boat is at Three Men on a Boat. That's the whole word. If you can get in touch with me on WhatsApp, +263 719 903 327. That is the WhatsApp number. Other than that, take care of yourself and the people that you love. My name is Larry Quirit Raya, as I say, from where I've come from. I see you, Sassy Benza. Take care of yourself.
And that's it for this week's episode. Add us to your podcatcher or on iTunes now so that you can make sure you never miss out on another second of our wonderful podcast. We would hate for you to miss out. Have a great week, everyone.